I am Frank Vaughn. It is February 25th, 2025, and we are going to dive right in. My tongue is annoyed with this sharp edge that is happening with my teeth, so if I start to sound funny, that's why. I'm going to get that fixed today. I'm under severe time restraints, so hopefully I can pull this off without it being terrible. Today's mission is going to be to clear the desktop because we have a lot of things on the desktop cluttering up the place, and I hate clutter. First off, a user comment. Dustin says, Mark Carney should be disqualified for foreign interference and not serve in Canada for at least the last 10 years. Yeah, he's been out of the country. He's practically a European. He is self-identified as a European. He is unelected. And there's a very solid chance that if the polling numbers aren't good enough, Mark Carney will be appointed as Prime Minister and supported by Jagmeet Singh and kept in office without actually sitting as a member of Parliament. And there's nothing in our pathetic constitution to stop him from being Prime Minister as an unelected person from Europe. Global climate policy expert joins Terra Mara's Strategic Advisory Board. This is Diana Fox Carney. She is Mark Carney's wife. She is a prominent globalist involved in all of the institutions that Mark Carney is, too. People want to talk about freedom. They want to talk about outsiders. The liberals are trying to bill Mark Carney as an outsider. You do not get more oligarchical than him and his wife. They are involved in the destruction of Canada and the Western world and have been for a long time. Elon Musk says, messed up. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is backing a proposed law to replace the word mother with inseminated person in a state statute. We have got to stop the trans nonsense. There are only two sexes. There will only ever be two sexes. And then there are mentally ill people who have identity problems. They are not real. Their beliefs are not real. Their situation is not real. We can tolerate their existence. We can tolerate that they live the way that they do. But we can't rebuild society around a mental illness, which is what this is. Mothers get pregnant. Mothers deliver babies. That's it. Women, it's an institution of women, should be celebrated by all of us because without mothers, without women, there's no human race. It's fantastic. The Americans are having all the fun. This message, I'm going to read in its entirety. So this message to the viewers who aren't members of woke and just want to be left alone conservatives and or small government demanding libertarians, yet have been up until now within the belief that Russia is the bad guy in this war. Now, Putin has committed some questionable transgressions in the past. Mind you, Russia after communism was worse than the Wild West, for it was run by mafias and oligarchs. And to be honest, if Putin didn't clean up the lawlessness in Russia during the 90s, it would be a third world country right now. Amoral, immoral, and even more impoverished than during communism. Nevertheless, so everything Frank just presented to you about Ukraine is correct. 100% accurate, completely correct. I have a friend in Odessa who has been in hiding for 5 months because he was drafted. And of course, he doesn't want to be dragged away from his three-year-old daughter and wife because he will die in a field in the front lines. These people are rounded up, they're sent to the front, and they die. Millions now. And this is the war that Trump is trying to end. This is the war that is a meat factory. This is the war that Pierre Poilievre, Justin Trudeau, Doug Ford, Scott Moe, everybody in this country seems to love this war. There isn't a single advocate for peace here because they're all trying to play to the Ukrainian diaspora that lives here in Canada without seeming to realize that their support is just sacrificing lives. And at the same time, supporting the position that we need to send unending amounts of aid to Ukraine. Justin Trudeau just announced that they're seizing $5 billion in Russian assets here in Canada. They're going to start shipping it to Ukraine. We could seize those assets and rebuild our hospitals and do something here for the people who are suffering in Canada, but instead we're going to feed the money to a meat grinder. It gets worse. Lastly, for some more perspective on the history of this conflict, plus a piece of information that is pertinent to our of current up-to-date facts. As soon as Moscow announced that communism will be shut down, Crimean officials, within the same hour of Moscow's announcement, made their own announcement. They announced themselves that the Crimean province and its people will rejoin Russia. Ukraine, by force, blocked this move and has been more or less until 2014 hiding hostage to Crimea, so holding Crimea hostage. So for those still under the belief that Russia is the bad guy, they stole Crimea, they're stealing Luhansk, Lugansk, and Donetsk, It's not true. Everyone in Crimea is ethnically Russian. They never wanted to be part of Ukraine. The only reason Crimea was gifted to Ukraine was because of the socialist utopia ideology of inclusion. The city of Mariupol, a port city in the Donetsk province, now known as the Donetsk People's Republic, has been rebuilt by Russia, and all the ethnic Russian citizens who were held hostage in the basements of their commie block apartments buildings by the Azov Battalion have now been given their homes back, newly rebuilt. The Russian army kept records. Everyone who lost their homes during the war in Mariupol and their homes were returned to them by Russia, and life has returned to normal in Mariupol. Ukraine is the bad guy in this war, and the Russia bad agenda that us Westerners have been fed is entirely propaganda, and it began approximately in 1996. Justin Trudeau made a tweet, an absurd tweet yesterday, about how the Ukrainian government had not precipitated the war, had done nothing to aggravate the Russians, and it's completely historically false. It's bereft of any fact. It's bereft of any reason or truth. And if you want to end the killing and you want to end the slaughter, you have to tell the truth about both sides of the equation. Moving on, Brian Lilly. Over on Facebook, Ben Shapiro is asking the question we all want more prominent American conservatives asking openly, why Canada? Why have allies in the American conservative movement? We need them to speak up. Thank you, Ben Shapiro. And Ben says, I still don't understand why we're laying 25% tariffs on Canada. I've got to be honest with you. I don't understand that one. I get it on Mexico. I get it on China. In fact, I think we should have a much higher tariff on China because China is the actual geopolitical enemy. But I don't understand what exactly we're trying to pry out of the Canadians. Canada is a captured state. Brian, you know it. Ben Shapiro should know it. These people should know it, but they feign ignorance or they are ignorant. The CCP operates here. We train their troops. They operate police stations. They money launder by the hundreds of billions every single year. The drug trade, the drug trafficking, the fentanyl, the methamphetamine, the raw ingredients come from China through our unprotected ports. They have the foreign interference probe, which was a whitewash, covered up the fact that CCP agents have been active in Canada for years under the Harper government. Maxime Bernier was a proud champion of the communist Chinese interest here in Canada, wanting free trade, which was another way of saying we need to accelerate the sellout of our manufacturing and resource base to Chinese interests. That's what Canada's been doing. Why are these guys pretending they don't understand that Canada is a captured state? That's why Canada. Ben Shapiro rightly identifies as China as America's number one geopolitical adversary, but doesn't identify Canada as their beachhead in North America. That's why. With Calistanis taking over the military, what could possibly go wrong? With Canada now loosening recruitment standards for the Canadian military in an attempt to prop it up, not really realizing that the reason we are 16,000 short in a military that is something like 68,000 strong, and it's not even really that, we can't field proper battle battalions. We don't have ammunition. We don't have materials. We're sending it all to Ukraine and leaving our soldiers at a time when everybody's talking about fighting the Americans and national defense. We have let our guard completely down, and now the Canadian military, instead of backing off on its DEI woke agenda, is saying that non-citizens can get into the military. Before you know it, I make a prediction right now. It won't be long before they're offering complete non-citizens membership in the military as a pathway to citizenship, and we will have a foreign legion right here on Canadian soil. Why not just invite the communist Chinese in to take the whole thing over? We have a Khalistani terrorism problem here in Canada. We have Khalistani separatists. This is a Sikh movement, for those of you who don't know. Those of you who live in nations that are smart enough to not let this seed itself and flower on your fertile soil. Our leader of the NDP, which is a political party in our house, Jagmeet Singh, cannot go to India because he's on a terror list. He's not allowed to go there. These people hold a huge influence, and now non-citizens who represent as long as they haven't engaged in violent activity, even if they hold to the philosophical and ideological belief that Khalistan should have its own republic right here in Canada, they are separatists against the nation, that they will get a clearance and they will be able to serve in the military. Isn't that grand? That's why, Ben. That's why, Brian. That's what's going on. Canada is a captured state. It's a security threat to the United States. I've spelled it out. I've given you all the receipts. Why are you pretending to be ignorant still? Zega Monster says Canada has had its last election. Elections are now a threat to democracy. I don't know if we've had our last election. I can't go that far. I think there's a possibility, a distinct possibility. I think it's the odds-on favorite outcome that we don't get a spring election, but there's still a distinct possibility that we do. However, the idea of elections being a threat to democracy is something that the politicians in power, the Trudeau Liberals and the NDP led under Singh, who can't go to India, a man on a watch list of another nation, these guys have said that we can't afford an election because Polyev will actually get in power because he was the most popular candidate, so they held off elections because he's too close to Trump. That's their argument. So the election itself, the very small amount of franchise that Canadians get, and I think there's going to be more talk on this later, is a legitimate threat to democracy. Voting is a threat to democracy. That is actually the ruling party talking point. This I just included as a piece of art. It's from a band that came from Toronto. A man named David Gould was the lead singer and the writer of the music. And he's long gone now. He died a long time ago in a tragic accident. But the art really jumped out at me. And I just wanted to say a quick word about the millions of people in Ontario that I know share reason and share my value systems and understand the truths that I am talking about. I often talk about the East in general, and I often make the caveat that there are millions who think like I do, stuck there. And I just thought this art, there's millions in Toronto who feel this way. They're just watching what was left of the old Canada in Ontario slip away as Doug Ford and Justin Trudeau are committed to mass immigrating people who have no love for our culture and no love for our heritage. The only thing they're interested in is our capital and being able to ship it overseas. They have their own interests. They're not Canadian interests. And I recognize there's a lot of people stuck in the East that know it. And that art jumped out at me the other day, and I thought I would just hold it on the desktop until I could talk about it. Buzzy Burt says, Trudeau said he is sending Canadian guns seized to fight for democracy in Ukraine. Insanely stupid. Yeah. We have an order in council right now, which has banned a bunch of legally owned firearms. We also have C-21, which banned a bunch of firearms. Canadian gun owners are the most vetted people in this nation. You can't have a criminal record. You can't even get in a fight at a bar without the firearms office probably giving you a call to see if you're a threat to democracy and a threat to public safety. They're taking lawful, legal, great Canadians, taking their personal property at whim because you don't have property rights in this country. It's basically been proven that there's going to be a Supreme Court case that really puts it to the test, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Supreme Court decides you don't actually have property rights. So you have a prime minister and his cabinet who is appointed, not elected, from the members that you actually vote for. So the cabinet and the actual government, the ministry, is not elected in any way. It's appointed. And with the stroke of a pen, he can seize any of your private property. That's just the facts. It's not just guns. And to add insult to injury, they're going to take your legally acquired property and they're going to send it to Ukraine, a country with known corruption issues. I've detailed it. Billions of dollars disappearing, being laundered. These horrible people who are killing millions in a war that wasn't necessary. A war that had peace on the table multiple times and the West stepped in to torpedo it. They're going to seize your property and send it to Ukraine so that they can keep killing the flower of their youth. What a sick and twisted nation, country the government of Canada has turned us into. It is disgusting. I say you can live your life as a Canadian. If you swore less and engaged more, you'd understand you change only the system of governments. This is after a guy just said, go F yourself, Frank. I simply want to be a Canadian. Doesn't understand that what being Canadian is all about is the people and the land. And your history doesn't go away if you change your system of government, if you change the Federation, which needs to be changed, and I'm going to detail why. That guy says the heritage of Canada is fighting two wars against traitors who would seek to undermine the crown. I don't see how joining those traitors is honoring our heritage. Why are you loyal to the crown? And why don't you understand? You want to stand behind the war debt of two world wars, but you don't seem to understand that your nation was already replaced in 1982. The flag they fought under is gone. It was eliminated. It was purged out. The Bill of Rights is gone, replaced by a weak charter. And I'm just going to read quickly the first section of the charter. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees the rights and freedoms set out in it, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. What those mealy words actually mean is that your freedoms in this country do not descend from God. They descend from the state, and the government can suspend them whenever they want. That's what it means. The first chapter nullifies everything that comes after it. And you know why? In 2022, there was a freedom convoy, the trucker convoy. The government suspended charter rights. They invoked the Emergencies Act. They boot-stomped their way out of that protest. Instead of sitting down and listening, which the Trudeau government loves to virtue signal about listening, they never listened to the convoy once. They seized their bank accounts without due process and without legal justification. They boot-stomped them out of Ottawa. And afterwards, it was challenged in court by a process. The court found the government was not justified. Not a single person went to jail, and there was zero accountability. So your charter rights can disappear at the whim of the state anytime, and even though later on in court it can be proven that they were not justified in taking your rights away, there is no repercussions. That means your charter rights mean nothing. You have no property rights. You have no real human rights, because they can disappear like that as soon as a leader decides to take them away. That's the Canadian charter. It sucks. This guy doesn't seem to understand that. He doesn't seem to understand that a superior heritage was already taken away. He just wants to virtue signal. We just made a mess. Going on to the next one. Kyle says, you need to be strung from a tree as a traitor. And I said to him, takes like this one are the reason I keep going. You can only kill me once, Kyle. But the ideas live forever. And people like you need to be countered by wisdom. You are vile creations, and they are, whether or not Kyle is a bot or whether or not Kyle is a real person. If you look at my feed yesterday, it has seldom ever been filled with such vile, vulgar people. They are the base. They are the base of the reptilian mind's tree. They suck. Now, whether they're bots or real people is irrelevant, because someone programmed the bot to be that vile. They curse, they swear, they tell you to lick parts of their body, which are just disgusting. One guy, I don't want to repeat what he said, but he also signaled in his bio that he had kids. And I said to him, dude, what are you teaching your kids? One day they're going to grow up and they're going to see this. Like, aren't you concerned that your vulgarity is just going to be passed on down the generations, and this emotive anger that is productive of nothing is going to continue to pollute the future human race and degrade the human condition? And I think the entire philosophical point I was trying to make was beyond him. But keep this in mind. Strung from a tree as a traitor. The Kyles of the world have no issues. The guys who talk about the heritage of the crown have no issues. TDSB moving ahead to erase Sir John A. Macdonald, Ryerson, and Dundas from Toronto schools. So your heritage is being erased because of radicals. Radicals don't attack real things. Radicals attack history. Radicals have this obsession with the past because the past can't fight back. And politicians will allow them, and university faculty will allow them to erase the past because the past is an easy sacrifice. Makes you feel like you're doing something while you're not actually solving the problems of today. We are a society of virtue signalers. We're godless. We signal virtue, but we don't have morals, so we don't have virtue. It's as simple as that. Didn't the weapons Canada gave to Ukraine get sold to Hamas and those Canadian weapons used on October 7th? Yikes. Own it, Canada. You don't hear about that very much. It's in YouTube comments, so therefore it must be fake news, but it's not. We can put bones on this. We're sending arms to Ukraine. We're sending money to Ukraine. Not only is the money not enough for their corrupt officials, but they remarket our arms, which end up back in Mexico and in Israel and in the hands of the black market. So it's not a distant possibility that the guns seized by C-21 and the order in council from legal, lawful Canadians will end up in Ukraine and then sold on the black market and end up killing people in other lands. Belleville has become worse with drugs and homelessness. Belleville, Ontario, was a town I used to live nearby. We used to go shopping there frequently, and I watched the decay over a decade with my own eyes. I watched Belleville turn from a beautiful small town into a crime-ridden, violent place. And one of the videos in recent days that I shared to my ex-profile is a police officer giving an interview where he's talking about Belleville, and he's talking about how he makes arrests, how he lays charges. The criminal goes to the courts release them on compassionate grounds. That's what they're saying. And then they go out and they reoffend and nothing gets done. The criminals just keep being criminals. The mentally ill have nowhere to go because there's no facilities. We believe that asylums and we believe that mental institutions that are incarcerate these people are terrible. So we throw them out on the street so that they can harm people just trying to go about their lives, the lawful people just trying to live, trying to work as tax slaves to pay their high tax bill. And they got to navigate getting stabbed and robbed in broad daylight. Belleville, Ontario, small town Ontario. And I said, in the month or two prior to moving, I took my wife and kids to Pizza Hut in Belleville. Pizza Hurt. It is Pizza Hurt. I get heartburn every time. And we sat in the van eating and listening to Raffy. A homeless drunk or addict, I don't know what he was, wandered up to the van, walked right in front of the van, into the grass right in front of my van, and took a shit right in the open. He was carrying toilet paper, which he had taken from inside the Pizza Hut so that he could wipe his ass, pardon my vulgarity, and drop his toilet paper right there on the ground. And I said, the only thing that saved me from an assault charge was the presence of my kids. I don't feel sorry for that guy. I'm tired of feeling sorry for scum. I'm tired of feeling sorry for the people who occupy public spaces so that they can do drugs and they can commit crimes so that they can get more drugs. Narcissists, selfish people who put their drugs and their addiction ahead of everybody else. This guy, I'm sick of it. If I had been alone, I would have had an assault charge and I probably would have been prosecuted. Social stigma will clean this up. We need more stigma, not less. We need more discrimination, not less. And we need to empower people to clean this up. Empower the courts, empower the citizen, and empower the police. Because this should not be tolerated. Stop feeling sorry for everybody. They don't feel sorry for you. They stomp all over you. They take away your space. They take away your safety. They don't care about you. The addict only cares about the drugs. To hell with them. They don't deserve your pity. Blarg says, I can't remember what he was responding to. He says, there's Chinese interference, Indian interference, illegal aliens, tyrannical government in a country that actually has facilities for people to get fentanyl injections. Is this the heritage that you're so proud of, Kyle? And that other clown talking about loyalty to the crown and heritage? Is this what they died for on the beach under a flag that's been replaced? Canada's overrun. Where were you? What did you do? What did you do as your nation was lost? What did you do? Nothing. Mark Slepinski. We're going to call him by his proper name because I don't feel proud of calling him that. Mark Slepinski says, let me slide in a hypothetical for your direction. We all vote for Polyev. He gives us everything Donald Trump is offering and more. And we get to keep our sovereignty and our pride, lower taxes, bigger military, less crime, more freedom. Raise your hand if you agree. This guy loves to virtue signal to the public, but he either doesn't understand or he doesn't want to tell you that Polyev can't fix the core problems with this country. You're not sovereign. As citizens, you have no sovereignty. You get to mark an X on a ballot, but your rights can be suspended by the state whenever the state decides to do it arbitrarily. You've been sold out to China. You've been sold out to India. You've been sold out to foreign buyers for years and you did nothing. Mark's not telling you about that. And he did nothing while it happened. He thinks voting for Polyev can fix everything. Polyev's already said he's not interested in the Constitution. He's not interested in dealing with equalization. He's not interested in doing anything of substance. He's not interested in giving you an elected Senate. The Senate in Canada is appointed basically for life. It's 275, but basically for life. You have overlords in Canada. All power descends from on high. When I did the video the other day comparing state rights to Canada, it's night and day. It's so clear. Jenny Delisle says, a little off topic, but what would be the reason Pierre Polyev didn't attend CPAC when other conservatives leaders did? And I said, he's turning milquetoast. He wants to distance himself from real conservatives. It's true. Polyev was leading bold for a long time. And he started to slip right around the Jordan Peterson interview where he talked about the Westminster system and how great it is. And Mark talks about Donald Pierre giving us everything that Donald Trump wants to give, but the fact is Pierre's come out against Trump. Pierre is thinking short term. He thinks he's getting an election in the spring. He may get it, and he's trying to win it by holding together the soft center. Same mistake Scheer did. Same mistake O'Toole did. He's doing the exact same thing they did. I don't know what happened to him. He was bold. Now he's not bold. Now he's slipping. And if he doesn't get his election or the election comes later, he has now made himself oppositional to Donald Trump. So his one edge, if he was actually concerned with preserving Canada and doing the right thing for Canada, would have been to be diplomatic. But instead, he jumped in with Team Canada, adopted their messaging, and now we're left with no representative coming out of an election or coming out of a non-election that is interested in doing anything except sacrificing your livelihood in a vain fight with Donald Trump that is completely unnecessary. Trump's demands were reasonable. That's the truth. They were reasonable. So, every state has a capital, Supreme Court, representatives, senators, as well as federal representatives and two senators. Each state is run as a country. It's really amazing. Less would change than you think. This is Brad Bernard. He's talking about if Canada became a state. What would change is that Canada would be far more sovereign and Canadians would be far more powerful. That's just a fact. I don't know how people deny it. People still come in the comment section and they deny it. They say that Canadian citizens are more powerful than Americans. We don't have rights that can't be taken away. We don't have rights descended from God. We don't have the kind of representation. The states are their own nations underneath the United States, which itself is a nation. And you get to elect all kinds of people. And all of those people, the position that they occupy forms a check on all the other people. So it's hard for power to run amok. It still does at times. There's still corruption problems. America is not perfect. No human system, by design, is going to be perfect. But it's better. It is objectively better. Brian Kuhn says, I'm a Virginian. Virginia is a commonwealth with its own constitution. We have kept our identity, which is plural, with four distinctive areas. Canada need not fear becoming Americanized. Canada's population is equivalent to California's. The population is how the number of representatives are determined, but California only gets two Senate seats. The U.S. would be okay to leave Ontario and Quebec to find their own way into the 21st century. Every state retains its identity. Canada could retain its identity. If we actually went with a four-state solution, those four states could have individual identity far greater than they have right now, including Quebec with its ethno-national state, them and Israel. They're like the only two ethno-national states still going on Earth, but that's a subject for another day. When Canada officially becomes part of the newly restored republic, it will still be Canada. The people will still be Canadians, just as there are Floridians and Michiganians. And the national anthem will be the state anthem. The Maple Leaf flag will be the state flag. This is what I've been trying to communicate to people. You don't lose anything. You just replace the terrible system that you're living under. Everything else stays the same. Like, people have got this notion that Canada just disappears if you change the legalistic structure. And they mistake the people and the land and the heritage and the culture. They mistake that for the federation and the government. And I'm a bad guy. They call me a traitor. People say, leave. All every day I get it. Leave. Go to the United States. Just go to the United States. Why would I leave my people? I don't want to leave. I want a better deal for you. That's what this is all about. I work from morning till night figuring out how to compile these because I want a better deal for the people. I'm not about to leave. I'm not giving up on Canada. I'm the one not giving up on Canada. I'm trying to make it better. If anything, your politicians and your leaders and your influencers are giving up on Canada because they're clinging to the state. They don't care about you and they don't care about the land. They care about the government and the system, which has robbed you and disenfranchised you and sold you out. These guys talking about loyalty to the crown and me as a traitor. They're the traitors. They're loyal to a system which has sold you out, and they said nothing until they were told to say something. They don't think for themselves. They outsource their thinking. Polls are showing Pierre is about to lose his majority government. Some of these polls, like ICOS, which is Frank Graves, and others, I swear, are just trying to create carny mania. But there is a shift. And we can argue about why that shift is happening. I think Polyev sees that shift. I don't think he's in deep trouble yet, because the polls that show him in the deepest trouble are just the fakest of fake news. But the fact of the matter is, he has become responsive to those polls. And his response is the same as Scheer's and O'Toole's. And look what that got them. I don't know when he fell off the wagon and stopped learning the valuable lessons of the last two election cycles, but we're here now. Here's your federation. I don't even see why this is, like, this isn't even really valid, because these are the numbers of Senate seats, how they're distributed in Canada. So Ontario and Quebec have the most people. To Americans watching this, every state, whether it's California or little Rhode Island, gets two senators because the Senate forms a check on the dictatorship of the mob. There's a tweet coming up. We'll put a pin in that. This is how we distribute our Senate seats. Now, keep in mind, these Senate seats are appointed by government anyway, not the government that you elect, because the government here isn't really elected. We elect members. The members appoint the government, and then the appointed government appoints the senators, and you can't get rid of the senators. They're there for life, basically, till 75. This is how we distribute it. It's just junk. The Federation is junk. Why can't Canadians admit that? Canadians, represent yourselves better. Do something better for the people. Do something better for the land, and admit your Federation sucks. Zachary Tisdale posted this map talking about the potential distribution of things. I think a four-state solution is best. I guess you could go five. Some people say that the West Coast would be, this is kind of a regional map, but the interesting thing that I wanted to talk about here is the idea of leaving the North as territories. Territories aren't disadvantageous. You don't get the same, well, you don't get much representation at all under the American system as a territory, but you do get an exemption from federal taxes. You know, it's kind of like a hybrid between a city-state like Singapore, and statehood. And that's a really loose way of describing it. But Puerto Rico has a lot of advantages. That's why a lot of people want to live there. The problem with Puerto Rico is hurricanes routinely come through and devastate things, not the result of climate change. There's always been hurricanes. There's an extensive record of hurricanes going all the way back to the time that the New World was found, again, by Western civilization. But I digress. I think a four-state or a five-state solution is fine. I think there's problems with a one-state solution, but the idea of keeping some of it as territories is it's not a terrible one. So this is interesting. This is a petition to the Prime Minister with 107,000 signatures. I think it's up to 200,000. This is people just wanting to take Elon Musk's citizenship away, because Canada is a nation of vacuous virtue signalers. They don't get anything done. They like to signal their virtue. They like to do the current thing. They like to just jump on bandwagons and feel like they're being strong and brave when they're actually not doing anything. So they want to take Musk's citizenship away. I don't know why. Because he's related to the president. Like, what has Musk got to do with Canada? He's currently trying to fix waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal deficit in the United States. Doesn't have anything to do with Canada. But this is what Canadians do. This is what the people do. We get involved in these stupid acts of virtue. Meanwhile, Herb Powell says, Omar Khadr gets $10.5 million. Sir John A. Macdonald gets erased. Wayne Gretzky gets canceled. Elon Musk has a citizenship threatened. People protesting for Canadian freedoms get trampled by horse. And the same people who cheer this on call themselves Team Canada. Omar Khadr is still a citizen. He's got $10.5 million, and he's going to live happily ever after. Canada repatriates ISIS terrorists who literally killed Western troops get to come back to Canada. They get a check from the government, and they get counseling services to try and repatriate them, and the Prime Minister takes pictures with them. And they call me traitor. They say I should be hung from a tree. They want to take away Musk's citizenship, but they got no problem with terrorists being resettled here. They got no problem with Hezbollah and Hamas using Canada as a money laundering capital. They have no problem with China using us as a hub for their geopolitical purposes. They don't even know. They virtue signal from a position of ignorance. Ah, this is finally something good. You've opened my eyes, Frank. Thank you. I get messages every single day from people, new people, for whatever reason, who watch a lot of content, but they don't get it the way I deliver it. They don't get the information or the dots aren't connected. And there are people who come in the door angry about what I'm saying, and within a short amount of time, if I can actually just get them to watch the work, they understand that I'm providing the receipts. They understand that I'm showing them how things actually are, that I'm not concocting a narrative. I am deriving reasonable conclusions from the evidence and from the things that I see. And this is the rewarding part. When I came back, what's the next one? You've earned another follower, and I'm sharing your channel and webpage out. You are certainly a voice in the wilderness. When I came back to making videos after a hiatus, it's the second hiatus I've gone on. I don't think there's going to be another one, because it's clear to me after spending time with myself that this is quite possibly my life's purpose. Communication, for whatever reason. The issue was a security issue. I've talked about that before. People showing up at the house was a really bizarre thing. And I needed to get my family to a safer place. Not just for that reason, but because the state went so crazy in 2021 that I'm like, if I'm going to be trapped in my house again, or they're going to try and do something crazy, I need to be in a better place. I need to be in the best place possible in Canada. And that best place, Saskatchewan, hands down, best province in the Federation. If you're a liberal lefty lunatic, stay away. We got enough of them. We have problems of our own. But if you are of a like mind, housing's cheap. There's work aplenty. And we need the help. We need the right kind of people. But I had to do those things. And then when I got here, I thought I was going to jump right back into video work, but I didn't. I thought, you know, there's all these people out there. And I used to take the insults and the invective, I used to take it far more personal than I do now. And they would say things like, you're a narcissist, you're egotistical, it's all about you. And I thought, how do I prove that? I don't think I'm those things, but how do I prove it to myself that I'm not? And the answer was, walk away from your audience. Be an introvert, because that's my nature. I like walking in the woods in the quiet. I like spending time with my family. I like petting my cat. I've got an owl right now that's flying around the house. It's been living here for a while, and I just enjoy watching that owl be. I like watching the way the sun shimmers on the snow, and I like reading my books, and I'm an introverted person. Anybody who went to school with me in grade 7, grade 8, grade 9, they would know. I was a stuttering mess. I walked with my eyes down, looking at the floor. But I trained myself, and I forced myself. I got out of my shell. It all came from within me, but I made it. Anybody out there who says they can't communicate and they can't do these things, I assure you, if I can do it, you can do it, because my nature is not extroverted. I am not built for giving speeches. I'm not built for this. I manufactured this. I became this. It's an extension of who I am. It all goes on up here. But I made a decision to try and communicate it. What a friend of mine said to me recently is, and this is something people who get to know me say this, that I am very little different on camera than I am off camera, that I am consistent between the two venues, and it's simply true. I am just giving you what's up here already. That's what I'm doing. I'm figuring out how to put it out there into the world. And when I came back, I found that that community hadn't left me. They were waiting. They had missed me. I got hundreds of emails and messages about how the work that I had done up to that point had changed people's lives for the positive. I got the odd negative one too, but most of the time they completely misrepresented what it was I was doing in the first place. And now I get new people all the time. And this brought to mind something. Voice in the wilderness, I keep hearing that. I keep hearing all kinds of different things that have that little bit of a spiritual connotation. And there are some elements of the things that I've said that have that spiritual dimension. I talk about everybody evangelizing. I just like the word. You take the message and you promote it out there. You promote me out there. You, the audience, make me what I am. Without you, this is nothing. There is no value to this work without you. And it's not a trite statement. It's the fact. And I don't like calling you followers, because it doesn't capture it. And I alluded to the fact that I wanted to refer to you as users, and I may still do that. User comments, I think, makes sense. But when I think, it's like, what is the audience? What is it that I, as a creator, am trying to get out of the audience? And the word that pops in my mind is disciple. Not because of the religious connotations, but this idea that you're delivering a message, people are hearing it, and then they are leading themselves. I think it's part of my bio on Twitter, lead yourself. They're leading themselves. They're going out there and delivering that message in their own way, and they're using you as an inspiration for that, but they are disciples. They are, you're independent, you're autonomous. You'll be there when I'm gone. You'll be there when whatever happens, happens. The impression that I leave has ripples through time. So you're much more than followers. That's all I'm trying to get at. You're not mere followers to me. Oh, Jody Gondek. I don't know if I want to get into this. This video is already getting long. This is the mayor of Calgary, who is defining her mayoral, whatever you want to call it, on things that she didn't campaign on. One of the things that she's doing is passed an edict where only certain types of free speech are allowed in public, and it's being contested in court. This is where you get into the weakness of the charter again, because politicians and power, which descends from on high in this country, and you have no right of recall. There isn't. Canadians can't recall mayors that get out of line. They can't recall politicians that get out of line. We don't have that power here anywhere in this country. And they can impinge on your human rights whenever they want, because your human rights are subject to government approval. We'll get into Gondek later. I don't want to do that right now. Keep in mind, rural hospitals in Canada have derelict infrastructure. Their past life expectancy covered in hazardous materials that cost ridiculous amounts of money to fix even the smallest jobs. Why won't our government build our people new hospitals instead of foreign aid? And it's that last bit that is critical. Canada has incredible need. We're already overtaxed. People can't afford to pay more tax. We got so much money laundering and drug trafficking and a huge black market in this country that the price of a house and housing is through the roof. It's not just mass immigration doing it and a lack of supply, like the Paul Yevon Ford conservatives want you to believe. It's all just down to a lack of housing supply. It is a much more complicated problem, and they're not telling you the truth. They could be using their platform to give you the full truth, but instead it's left to guys like me to try and put it all together and put it out there and then struggle with the algorithm to try and get an audience and struggle with human nature to get people to actually watch. We're giving away billions to Ukraine. We're giving away billions to the world. And our own people languish and suffer. Why? Brady says, the U.S. system where the majority lose. And I said, the mob is a tyrant, which is why they sometimes lose. Not this election, though. It's true. It's a well-established element of philosophy that the population gets it wrong. So the republic was built to check the population. You have the House of Congress, which is the populist assembly. And then you have the Senate, which represents the land. And then you have the Electoral College bringing it all together. And then you have the judiciary overseeing it all. Mob rule is terrible because the population gets it wrong. There's an old saying, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you? Well, that's one of the underpinning philosophies of a republic. The mob can be a tyrant. And thus, the mob must also have a check and balance on itself. And we don't really have that here. RCMP swear loyalty to the Crown, not to the people nor the Constitution. Is that right? Are the people who police you, should they be loyal to the King, or should they be loyal to you, the people, to the service of the people, to the service of your rights, which you don't have in Canada? But even the pseudo-rights, the privileges that come from government, should the police be loyal to them, or should they be loyal to the King? It's not just ceremonial. It's not just ceremonial. 25,000 to 28,000 die every year from medical errors for the last 20 years or so. This is an addendum to a tweet that I made talking about 60-odd thousand people who leave Canada to get care that they can't get here. So they're paying taxes for a healthcare system they can't use, so they have to use their after-tax income to go to the United States and get the care that they can't get here. And it's not just rich people. It's poor people, too, who put themselves in debt to go and get care down there. Everybody wants to talk about medical bankruptcies in Canada, but they don't want to talk about the people who die on waiting lists, the people who have to leave the country for care. Statistics like this one where medical errors are on the rise in Canada because most of the really good talent, not all of it, but most of the really good talent goes somewhere else to make better money and to serve their patients better, because the Canadian healthcare is so heavily regulated that there really isn't a good, solid patient-doctor dynamic. It's very cold. It's very methodical. My old doctor, I've had two good doctors and I've had one really bad one. And the bad one, he didn't even make eye contact with you. You came into his office, I bet he didn't even know what I looked like because all he did was stare at his laptop and write a few notes and made me feel like he could care less about my healthcare. Whereas in the United States, it's a holistic system. I say there aren't different issues. In one country, you have medical bankruptcy for people whose lives were saved, but they had no insurance. In the other country, people die waiting for care or are offed by the state under MAID 5%, well, 4.1% in 2023, probably 5% by now, of deaths in Canada are caused by the government with something called medical assistance in dying. So we just really kill them off while they wait. It's what we do. So I said that it's probably a wash, and a wash means that it probably, the problems with the U.S. system and the problems with the Canadian system, rather than debate them, let's just call it a wash. Let's just say that both systems have problems, endemic problems. 665,000 people go bankrupt due to medical bills every year in the United States. That's 0.196% of their population. People in Canada struggle. I don't know about the 665 figure. I actually think it's far lower than that. People in Canada struggle to get a doctor and sometimes die waiting for medical procedures. The cost in healthcare in Canada is 25% of our revenue. Costs between $9,000 and $10,000 a year. This idea that Canadian healthcare is free, it's not. Every citizen is paying. Even a non-taxpaying citizen, it costs $9,000 to $10,000 a year to maintain them. And most of that is being consumed by people using the system for chronic and preventable disease. Because they don't have to get healthy. They have no incentive to get healthy. So they can be 500 pounds and having chronic heart conditions and diabetes and everything else, and they can go to the hospital, get their subsidized care, and then go out and drill Wendy's right afterwards. There's no incentive to be healthy. And it's not just 25% of our revenue. A huge chunk of our national debt so is healthcare, 36%, that we haven't paid for yet. So it's healthcare that's already been delivered that we still need to figure out how to pay for in the future. So Canada's healthcare isn't free. It's incredibly expensive and inefficient. Also in the United States, check with the hospital's financial aid department to see if you qualify for reduced charity care. To start the process of getting care, meet all the caseworker at the hospital and gather relevant paperwork to begin applying for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. There's this idea that there's no coverage. There's no state coverage in the United States. It's completely false. It might be incomplete. It might not be as good as you want it to be, but you can get state care. You can get charity care. And those people with the medical bankruptcies that we're talking about, even though the number was ridiculously high, I think it's in the neighborhood of 200,000 a year, which is still big, they got the medical care. Their lives were saved. They owed money for it. They had to go bankrupt, but they're still alive because they got the care. It's not quite the way the Canadians want to cut it. We want to make it cut and dry. It's not that cut and dry. Canada named 7 drug cartels, crime groups as terrorist entities. This would be more meaningful if it wasn't for the fact that already known terrorist quantities like Hezbollah and Hamas, already labeled as terrorist organizations here in Canada, operate in the open on our streets. It's not just what we don't see, the money laundering and the drug trafficking. It's also the protests that happened in Toronto and all over this country with Hamas flags blazing. The terrorist designation doesn't mean anything. And if I had one thing to say to Donald Trump, it is don't buy this. This is all virtue signaling stuff. Terrorist designations mean nothing in this country. Nothing. This one's just a reminder that the federal government's decisions on forest management led to the Jasper wildfire, but that's something to revisit another day. This is Canadian gun control milestones. The Liberals came into power and gun violence went off the chart even as they attacked lawful legal gun owners with more regulation. They have done nothing to stop crime because they've turned the courts into one of those rotating doors. I can't remember what they're called. But basically you go to court, you get released, you can reoffend. People who are shooting people on the streets with handguns, the handguns are already heavily regulated anyway. So if you've got a handgun on the street right off the hop, it's already illegal. You shouldn't have it there. And secondly, murder and shooting people is already illegal and law isn't stopping it. So the liberal solution, the only solution that they have on offer, is to target legal, lawful gun owners who don't commit crime. And this is the result. They're a failed government. Top cities for new permanent residents in 2023. This just shows you why Toronto and Vancouver are among the most overrun. This is from the U.S. Department of Education. average yearly cases of child sexual abuse, Catholic priests versus public school employees. The Canadian media loves to talk about residential schools. They love to talk about what happened by the church, which was bad. But as I showed you in a previous video, they don't like to make splashy front pages about the high instance of sexual exploitation that happens in public schools. It's kind of covered up. Most gender-confused children grow out of it, landmark 15-year study concludes, as critics say it shows being trans is usually just a phase for kids. Yeah, because it's not real. It's not real. It's a cry for attention most of the time. It shouldn't be encouraged. Embracing a delusional gender identity is just going to lead to more mental illness. We're not helping anybody. We're harming people. And as state policy, as legal policy here in Canada, we want to continue harming people. U.S. study on puberty blockers goes unpublished because of politics, doctors say. So when people always talk about the science, Science Incorporated, it's good to remember that what is called science is denuded or diluted by politics. When it came to the science on C-19 vaccines, you were lied to. And now we know that landmark Harvard paper, which shows that they were very harmful. Many of them have been pulled off the market. Doug Ford goes out. He celebrates the fact that AstraZeneca is opening a plant in Ontario. AstraZeneca's product was pulled from the market because it caused harm. The people who were hesitant were correct. But those studies were repressed. Those voices were destroyed. They were censored out of existence. Millions of people went and got the clot shots and are living with harm today because the science was suppressed by politics. And it's the same on puberty blockers and the gender delusion. Politics silences science. These guys want you to believe that biology isn't real. Well, it is real. And it's time we brought it back. It's time we took it back. This was a little one that I wanted to build on, and I may in the future, but this is just highlighting drug busts aboard ships owned by J.P. Morgan Chase, Chiquita Bananas, these big businesses, 1999, 1997. The point being, Toronto Dominion Bank was caught laundering money for drug cartels, and they got fined, largest fine of a bank in history, Canadian Bank. The corruption with the mega banks and the corporations has been going on for a long time. I would argue that to some degree or another, the institutions in the United States and Canada and the governments themselves have wanted the drug problem to exist. And we can go back through history and we can look at how the CIA was a drug dealer at various points, using those illicit monies to fund insurgencies in other nations. That's another fact of history that I'm sure I'll be called a conspiracy theorist for. The drugs come in so easy, it's as though someone wants it there. The drugs flow across the border. Our ports here in Canada are wide open. We have these mega fentanyl labs producing drugs on a scale that would kill the entire Canadian population multiple times over. It's not by accident. Someone wants it there. Maybe not all of them. But someone wants it there. And that's an important distinction. And another important distinction is the Trump administration is set on changing that. And instead of demeaning them and attacking them and aligning yourself against the orange man, you should be looking at what's actually happening in the United States, and you should probably start celebrating some of it. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'm going to go get my teeth fixed. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.